And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Happy Friday. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Good to be with you on this, the 22nd day of the month of November. A couple of programming notes. We will not have Sports Hubs next week, Thursday and Friday, because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So hopefully you're enjoying your family time, your friends' time, your food, your football, all of the above. So just a little FYI, we will not be here in studio on Thursday and Friday of next week, as it'll be the Dan Patrick Show. That'll be at 10 o'clock on Thursday and Friday of next week. But here we are today, to be sure. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir, or madam, the listener. And, of course, my main compatriot across the way, he is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How is your Friday morning going?
Doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. A little sleepy. I was up kind of late last night just because I was so jacked up after that game last night with Northern State and UMary. We'll talk about that at length, certainly. But they always say that you shouldn't eat a big meal and then go to bed. Well, I did that last night. And then I woke up this morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning with some tummy trouble. So I probably shouldn't be drinking this coffee either. It's probably not a good idea.
Well, that'll help get it through the system a little bit faster.
Maybe. I don't know. I probably don't need much more to go through the system here this morning. That's probably a little too much for the listener out there. But that's just the truth. So, yeah, don't eat a big meal and then go to bed, or at least attempt to go to bed. But, yeah, it was hard for me last night. I mean, the game was just down to the wire, and I was joking with you guys off the air. I said, well, football tried to kill me with every game going down to the wire. Head coach Mike Schmidt said this, and I can't believe it. It's so true. The Wolves got into victory formation twice this last autumn, which is bananas to me, in 11 games, and they won six of them. In 11 games and six wins, they got into the victory formation twice, which is crazy. And if they didn't kill me, well, maybe it made me stronger, but the Northern women's basketball team is trying to finish the job that they couldn't. I don't know. But just a phenomenal game there last night. Atmosphere was good. And now the women can go way west to Hawaii now with a victory underneath their belt in the NSIC.
Yeah, awesome game. Kind of a back-and-forth game. They played well in that second half. I know UMary had a huge second quarter, but outside of that, I thought Northern played really well. And how about that play at the end? I mean, Rio with a perfect pass, Sprague over traffic, was able to lay it up and in. You can't make a better pass than that in that situation. Now, they had time, too, where Bragg was able to catch, kind of regroup, and then shoot because there was about 2.5 seconds left. But It was all about the pass from Rio and then the finish from Bragg. Just a great play there at the end of the game. And Northern gets their first conference win, now 3 straight over 500, too.
No doubt about it. And I'm right there with you. I think that pass is as good as you can ask for. And I don't know how that ball got there. I said on the broadcast, it was like a seeing eye pass. I mean, that ball was getting through all sorts of traffic into her hands, and she makes a great catch and she lays it in. But in heavy traffic, that play in that moment, I mean, that's only a play I feel like Rihanna Philippi can make. I mean, a senior, this is her final swan song, and Coach Kruger has been pretty vocal about it in pregame show and postgame as well, that Rio has been vocal about it. This is it for me. You know, this is my final handful of games. I'm thinking about the end. Well, don't think about the end so much. Think about the journey to get there. And obviously the journey off to a good start. But I don't know what that's like. I was never a senior that was a super athlete. You know, I was never an all-conference anything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I can't put myself in those shoes. Now you, on the other hand,
I can't put myself in those shoes.
I can't do it either. Okay, well, bad example.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what that's like to be the point guard on a program than you have been for the last handful of years. You're a good team. Everyone knows you're a good team. Everyone has high expectations for that team. And you are basically on borrowed time. That's got to be strange.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, she made that great pass. And, you know, you do feel for, you know, I mean, it's very early in the season, so those, I guess, emotions, I mean, she's just trying to take every moment in. I mean, what a play there. Buzzer beater on your home floor in front of the fans. It's got to be a special moment for her. But I don't know, when I was going back watching the play, do you think that was a set play to lob that to Bragg at first? It looked like she was going to go to Beneke first, and then her second option was Bragg. Now, I don't know, but that was the thought over my head when I first saw it and watched it back.
Yeah, well, let's watch it here in the studio. I thought she was going to go to Beneke first, but I think it was a design play. I do, because if you watch Rio's face, she's looking her way the entire way. Here's Maddie setting the screen at the top. Sorry, radio audience, for those of you that are listening in right now, but Rio's looking her way. Here comes the screen from Jewett to set the screen pinned down.
Oh, yeah,
it
was set up.
So it was set that way the whole way. A little eye candy at the top of the wheel with Elena Beneke at the top of the circle. I thought she was getting it, but that was a design play the whole
way. Well, yeah, no doubt about it. Going back and looking at it, that was a great fake screen to start from Bragg, and then you see Jewett come around to make that screen as well. She makes actually two screens. I think that kind of hesitated the defense a little bit, and it allowed Bragg to kind of get a first step, kind of like in football when you get that first step and try to beat the defensive back. I mean, that pass is literally right in her hands. But yeah, looking back on it now, it looked like originally possibly going to Bragg, but that was a complete design play. And big shout out to Jewett there, setting two screens to kind of confuse the defense. One to four, it looks like Beneke up top, and then the second there for Bragg. And I mean, you can't – what a play. I mean, really, what a play. And for Bragg to finish that over somebody is impressive.
And we've got our first sort of insight as to who's going to get the ball late. And, you know, in a situation like this, it was Madeline Bragg. Maybe next time it'll be Elena Beneke. Next time it might be Michaela Jewett. You never know. Last time it was Morgan Fiedler when the game was on the line. It wasn't designed for her, but she took the shot to beat Duluth. And I think that's one thing about this team that's so exciting is, okay, game's coming down the line. You know Michael Jordan's going to get the ball. You know the ball's going to be in 23's hands. Same thing for the Lakers. Everyone knows LeBron James is going to get the ball. Now, can they make the right play and pass it like Michael Jordan did to Steve Kerr for the game-winning shot? All of those things are true, but now with this team, any one of these girls, any one of these five players on the floor can take the shot to win the game. And that's not even saying DeKonte Smith. I think she's going to have a game winner or two in her career at some point in time. So anybody at any point in time can make the play. And I think that's the beautiful thing about this program is they're so unselfish. And watch the celebration afterwards. Everybody is there. You know, I've been to some games. I'll be honest with you. I've been to some games where there's a game-winning shot or you can see it. There was a clip that just went viral maybe 2 weeks ago or something like that. There was a three-point barrage that was going off in a game, and the guy in the corner that wasn't getting the ball was slouching. He was sulking.
Not
doing anything to be supportive of his teammates. And when you see anything positive for Northern first quarter, second quarter, game winner, everyone is cheering for their teammates. That's a team. That's amazing.
I saw Coach Kruger tweet exactly what you just said about that, kind of more talking about look at how the team is celebrating with one another, which is pretty cool. It's a team game. And to your point about anybody can shoot the game-winning shot, I feel like whoever's got the hot hand possibly on that team that night could get the ball in that situation. Maybe not even the hot hand, just somebody, the open teammate that can knock down that shot. And that's what's really cool about that squad. And like to see them now on this three-game win streak. Now you can kind of, you know, settle into that long flight to Hawaii and see if you can get some wins over there.
No doubt about it. Looking forward to it. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off next Friday. That'll be against Hawaii Hilo and then California State Dominguez Hills. Or Dominguez Hills, I think it is?
I think it's Dominguez Hills.
Yeah, that'll be on Saturday at 5 o'clock. So looking forward to those broadcasts on the web, or webcast, if you will, over on HubCityRadio.com. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA. Kind of a potpourri of the program today. A lot of high school volleyball talk from yesterday. We'll preview some of the matchups for today and tonight as well for A, B, and AA. Talk about that. Preview the weekend ahead on the gridiron. Talk some Minnesota Vikings football here, too. The Vikings have a big one, and they're going to Chicago. It's like, it's a bye week. The Bears stink. The Vikings typically don't play their best in Chicago. It's not to say they haven't won there before, but something always kind of wonky happens for one reason or another whenever the Vikings go to Chicago. So we'll talk about that. The Aberdeen Wings are on the road this upcoming weekend against the St. Cloud Norsemen. We'll talk about that. So, like I say, kind of a potpourri of the sports up here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we just heard from our guy there, Mr. Unlimited, and the game last night, Cleveland and Pittsburgh, another game, speaking of contests going down to the wire, pretty cool deal. The Browns beat the Steelers there as my dad's favorite team beat his second favorite team, apparently, in the snow globe there. And I saw this maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that, that the Cleveland Browns want to build a new stadium.
Really?
On the lakefront there. The Cleveland Browns want to build a new stadium. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the stadium that they play in, it ain't that old. 1999, brand new stadium. I mean, that's 25 years old.
It's not that old.
It's really not that old in the grand scheme of things. And they want to build a new domed stadium.
Why?
A domed stadium. Yeah.
It's Ohio.
Thank you. Exactly. Bernie Kosar, Webster Slaughter, Kevin Mack, Gerald McNeil, Felix Wright, all these guys would be so PO'd. Hanford Dixon, Frank Minifield. I'm going back to the 80s here. But a name that I think everybody knows. Jim Brown would be rolling in his grave.
Yes.
To find out the Cleveland Browns want to build a dome stadium. Why would you want to take away that snow globe game from the Cleveland Brown fans and just NFL fans in general?
I think it was perfect that the game was in Cleveland, too. That snow game in Cleveland, I think it just was a picture-perfect kind of sighting there for the Cleveland Browns fans. And just seeing their fans without shirts on, some of those
yes.
crazies were great. And I know this cracked me up after the game. The Steelers obviously lost 24-19. But George Pickens, what he said after the game just made me laugh and shake my head. The conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. They played in the same conditions you did, man. That makes no sense at all.
That's exactly where I'm going for number two here. Bingo. Exactly. I thought that was bananas. I saw the exact same thing. So it's like, if they're not a good team, well, what's that say about you guys? Like, they just beat you.
Yeah.
Like, you should have beaten them. Okay, well, you know, the conditions are this, they're that. Okay, well, you had to play them in them too. Does that mean to say that you were unprepared to play in those conditions? Well, I guess that's on coaching then, right? Maybe?
Yeah. I will say that the Steelers have struggled against the Browns here as of late,
yeah.
which is just so random. Because the Steelers play really well in the AFC North against the Bengals, obviously my Ravens. But for whatever reason, over the last couple years, they've really struggled to beat this team in Cleveland. And I also saw this. They talked about this pregame, but Mike Tomlin on the road in the AFC North on Thursday Night Football is like 0-7. So he just doesn't play well on the road in division on Thursday night for whatever reason that is. I don't know.
You'd think that'd be closer to 500 because it's on the road, short week. But you go back and call back to all of your previous knowledge about that program. It's not like you're playing like the Jags or the Rams or something like that. You know who the Cleveland Browns are. You know who the Ravens are. That's very, very strange to me.
And also, I'll say this. I just think the Steelers, they're just not at the level of some of these other teams at the AFC. Everybody wanted to crown them after they beat Baltimore. Hey, is this the best team in the AFC? They're 8-2, and they're just flawed on offense. And you've seen it here the last 2 weeks. Now, they did get in the end zone twice, but they didn't score a touchdown for 7 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to beat some of these top teams in the AFC not scoring touchdowns. They have a Super Bowl contending defense, in my opinion, with the Watt and their back end secondary. I like their linebackers, but, man, that offense to me, it's just so whatever, and I don't think they're that good.
I think it's very limited. Pun intended. And I really mean that, because Russell Wilson, who had a terrible career, or a terrible year anyway in Denver, he was a lot better last year, at least his numbers were, got off to a decent start here in Pittsburgh now, but Russell Wilson's not 25 anymore.
Nope.
He can't run around the way he used to.
He holds the ball sometimes way too long, too. I don't get that.
Did that in Seattle, too. And he had a really, really good defense and running game to bail him out from time to time. And there's a reason why it all kind of broke apart in the end. And I'm not going to open up those Pandora's box and open up all those old wounds for me. But Russell Wilson in Seattle was probably the best quarterback in franchise history.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But there were some limitations to his game that drove his teammates crazy. And I think you're starting to see some of those limitations in Pittsburgh. And it's either moon ball or bust. So many times, 3rd and 2, moon ball to Pickens. Like, why are we throwing a moon ball on 3rd and 2? What are we doing?
Yep.
Just hand the ball off, get a couple. Where's Freiermuth over the middle? Russell Wilson doesn't throw the over the middle at all. Hardly ever, anyway. At least he certainly didn't in Seattle towards the tail end of his career. Didn't do it a whole lot in Denver. And it's just one of those things that there are limitations to his game. And at the end of the day, are you beating Kansas City? You beating Buffalo? I don't see Pittsburgh beating any of those teams.
I don't think so.
Could be
either.
Wrong, but we'll see.
I don't think they're on that level. Now, if they would play Baltimore in a first-round playoff game, I think they would beat them or be in the game. And I'm not saying – I think they're going to be in each game they play. I'm just not a fan of their offense. Like, you don't do anything strategy-wise that gives you an advantage. I mean, they threw Justin Fields in, and that worked a little bit, but – with the Wildcat, but teams are going to be able to stop that as you do that a little bit more. And to your point, it's a jump ball to Pickens. That's their offense. And maybe a throw over the middle possibly to Freiermuth every once in a blue moon. Mm-hmm. I did see this also after the game that I wanted to talk about. Remember we were talking a little bit about Myles Garrett, J.J. Watt,
yeah.
Or T.J. Watt in the summer. After the game, I love Myles Garrett's arrogance. After the game, he goes, "I'm number one. That's from Edge One, Defensive Player of the Year. I'm the guy that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am." Because he was talking a little bit about T.J. Watt being upset, or he was not happy that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, although he had the better stats.
Mm-hmm.
And Myles Garrett's like, "Eh, that sucks. I'm still number one. I don't care what the numbers say."
Yeah, I'd really like to have both of those guys on my team, man. Those are two super-duper edge pass rushers, just game disruptors in Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. There'd be a spot. There would be a spot on either of my defensive ends for a guy like – for both of those guys.
Yeah, I like both of them. And I think, like you said, and we saw it last night, and we see it week in and week out, it feels like with T.J. Watt, he kind of was quiet last night. But with – these guys, they completely disrupt the game. I think Garrett had three sacks and a forced fumble. That's a huge difference of that game last night.
Yeah, he was big time. And Jameis Winston did just enough to win the game there for the Browns as well. And you want to talk about a walking soundbite. Jameis Winston is just that. And the viral moments for him are absolutely everywhere on X this morning. It's bananas.
You know, the one that really cracked me up, you know, when he was doing those drills. Have you ever seen the video of him in the summer doing those, like, drills where he's holding the ball and he's, like, avoiding the pads?
Yes.
Well, there was a side-by-side of, like, a picture of him doing that and then him doing it in the game, and the caption was like, "This is awesome." And that was my favorite one of the, you know, he wasn't totally BSing about that. Because he did it in the game, which I thought was great.
Yeah, there was a moment that he was interviewed, I think, pregame, and he is, you just go on to X right now, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and it's just, the first thing there is just Jameis Winston. Dude is classic.
Yeah, you scroll down, every five little things on
there's a Jameis Winston clip, yeah.
It's a Jameis
he's everywhere.
Whether he says it pregame, postgame, he's a walking soundbite, he's a walking comedy show.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he has a moment every year, it seems like. And I'll tell you what, they have a couple upsets this year in Cleveland.
Yeah, they do. And I'm sure my dad is happy and then kind of sad at the exact same time. All right, coming up next on the show, we are talking some high school volleyball from yesterday. And also we'll preview some of the matchups for tonight. We'll talk about the Northern State basketball matchup there as well as a busy weekend on tap in some college action there to boot. Playoff football is not that far off. Got a couple of squads within the region playing each other there. The Northern State volleyball squad is in action. Don't forget about that. It's the semifinals coming up tomorrow. They'll be taking on St. Cloud. Just a very busy weekend on tap, and we'll unpack it all, or at least part of it, coming up next on FSA. Sports Hub continues, by the way, should be pointed out, as this is some Creed in the background, that Creed was at the game last night between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So apparently they were wearing all Browns garb there a little bit, so maybe that was a little outer worldly of a victory there, as the Browns were, of course, going higher with
yes.
the victory. But there's something to that, man. Snow Globe games.
Creed.
Creed's there. Jameis Winston's just spitting, eating W's left and right. Gotta love it.
Now, are Creed Fairweather fans? Because weren't they doing some stuff with the Minnesota Vikings, too? Last year?
Whoever signs the paycheck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. But probably. I don't know if that was just so much of...
Or is that just a Kirk Cousins
thing? I think it's just a Kirk Cousins thing, I think, yeah. Because he was just a big fan of Creed and Kirk O'Chains. That's neither here nor there. We will talk about the
swag
Vikings,
surfing,
though.
Remember that?
What was that?
Remember you would do... Or now his new thing in Atlanta's the swag surfing thing.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't with Kirk Cousins?
No, what is that?
It's like he was like the crowd in Atlanta does like a swag surf song, and he was in the post game one time. He's like, I like when the crowd does the swag surf, and he's doing the dance. He thought that was pretty funny.
God, that guy is such a goon. He's such a goober, but I love it. I love quarterbacks like that, like Kirk and Jameis, the guys that just don't take themselves too seriously, that are just kind of embracing every single moment they come across. I love guys like that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Okay. All right, let's talk about some high school volleyball from yesterday. We'll start up on the Class B side of things. You did have, by the way, an 8 over a 1. We'll talk about that here in just a second. That was on the Class A side. But in Class B, it was Chester making quick work of Castlewood, 9-19 and 13. Emerson Eppard with a double-double, 10 kills and 10 digs for her. As Chester, they advanced to take on the number 5 seed of Burke, who downs Kadoka area in the minimum 16-12 and 13 as Kaylee Frank had 14 kills there for the Burke squad. In the night session, it was Warner. They had to work for it, certainly. They did lead 2-1, but big shout-out to Coleman Egan. They certainly didn't quit, but the Monarchs just a couple points better, literally just a couple points better in the fifth set, winning it 15-13. It went down to the wire. Warner wins it in 5. Kylie Schopp with 23 kills and 5 digs. J.C. Jung with a double-double, 14 kills and 11 digs in the victory there. McKenna Leidholt with 12 terminations and a double-double from Reagan Wood, 20 set assists and 10 digs. Brinley Landis had 16 kills and 14 digs in the loss. And Elena Rohde with 11 terminations and 23 digs. You couldn't ask for much better than that. And we'll get to the other night session there, too, with Hitchcock Tulare as well. But, I mean, two really good matchups there in Warner. A really stiff test for them on the first night.
Yeah, that surprised me when I was looking at this matchup. I thought Warner, they really took care of everybody that they played this year. Haven't played a lot of five-set thrillers this year outside of the Hitchcock Tulare one that we talked with Jordan Opp with yesterday. And maybe being at the bright lights, you know, we saw it, like you said, with an 8-1 in Class A. You know, maybe that has a little bit to do with it, being on this spectacle that is the state tournament. It takes you a little bit to settle into the match. I mean, we're seeing some big matches from, you know, Kylie Schopp and J.C. Jung, but maybe it just took them a little bit of time, and Coleman Egan took advantage. And wow, that fifth set comes down to the wire like that. You know, when you get into that fifth set and it's kind of back and forth, and very similar situation with Warner last year versus Chester. That was a fifth set that came down to the wire and they were unable to win it. So when you get into that fifth set, especially when you're in, you know, 11-12 range and it's close like that, you got to play almost perfect. They did, and they move on.
Have you actually watched Office Space yet?
I've seen about half.
Okay, because Lumberg, you know, Bill Lumberg, he goes, I'm going to sort of disagree with you there. Bright lights, they don't bother Warner. I don't think so.
No.
I'm going to disagree with you there on that one. But I will say, I think when it comes down to the wire, they go back on the, we've been there, we've done that.
Sure.
We are the Monarchs. We've been here so many times. We've won so many state championships. Now, I get it. It's not the exact same team that's won all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in the state championship last year. They lost in 5 to Chester.
They have a lot of experience.
Yeah, I don't think they're intimidated by the bright lights and the big moments and stuff like that. I mean, think of how many tournaments and classics and stuff that they're in.
Sure.
I would think it's the exact opposite. I would think maybe they could be sort of, I don't want to say too relaxed, but Coleman Egan, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about them. Maybe they're just kind of like, hey, we're the 7 seed, we're playing Warner.
Got nothing to lose.
Nobody expects us to win anyway. Let's just play free. And they did. So credit them. But yeah, I don't buy the I don't think they were intimidated by the moment or anything like that. But when it's on the line, you have to find a way, and Warner does, because that's what Warner does. And big shout out to them, but they're going to have their hands full tonight because they'll be taking on that Hitchcock Tulare squad, who downed Gayville Vaughlin in 5. As Hitchcock Tulare, they lost the first set and then won the next 2, fell in the fourth just barely, 25-23, and then downed, they picked up the victory there in the fifth set, 15-7. Caitlin Schroeder, Northern commit, she'll be a Hitchcock Tulare grad in a second here, 27 kills and 23 digs. Lila Jo Johnson, 23 digs on defense. Ella Johnson, a near double, make a triple double, 7 kills, 32 set assists, and 32 digs. And Cambry Hochman with 28 digs in the victory. As Hitchcock Tulare, apparently they need to go to the same breakfast joint. I texted Coach afterwards.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I texted Coach Opp, and I said, hey, well, you better keep everything the same. He goes, I think we're doing breakfast in the hotel this morning. The girls are tired. Well, that's just it. I'm glad that Warner also went to 5, because then you can't be like, well, Team X was tired. Both of those teams are probably tired going into tonight.
Yes.
That'll be a great matchup for sure. I think that's the nightcap. I want to say 6:45. Is that accurate? Yeah, 6:45 tonight. So both
of
those.
That's the last match of the night then?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if one of those matches last night went to 3 and the other one went to 5, then you hear that, well, the other team played 5. They
yes.
played 3. Well, we don't have that. So I'm really excited about that match tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be a great match. And you know, I just felt like Hitchcock Tulare, they just I never felt like they were in trouble last night in that match versus Gabriel Volin. They just played so well in those middle sets after falling that first one. That fourth one, they were right there, had a chance to win it, and then they were able to take advantage in that fifth one. Caitlin Schroeder did Caitlin Schroeder things with the 27 kills and 23 digs. But to your point now, you get the rematch. I think that's great to see. You played this team earlier this year. It went to 5, and we talked to Coach Hop yesterday. You know, we were disappointed we didn't get the win in that one. Now you have another opportunity. You'd probably much rather win this one, but, I mean, you're going to have to take down a Warner team that, you know, and you mentioned it, they've been at the bright lights a lot, so this is nothing new for them. And I'll be interested to see the kind of adjustments that they make from the match they had versus Coleman Egan to this one. They played each other once, so there's a little bit of familiarity there. I'm looking forward to that one tonight.
Yeah, should be a really, really fun matchup. And I tell you what, I just see this one going 50-50. I really feel like this is a coin flip game.
Yes.
Or coin flip match. Hitchcock Tulare has been so close, but can they finally get over that hump? You know, can they pull the Northern State against SMSU? You lost to them twice earlier on this year. Can you beat them when it really matters in the tournament, in the NSIC tournament? The Wolves did that to SMSU. Okay, you lose to them in 5 in the regular season, but can you beat them when it really matters? And Coach Jung does such a great job, and that program has been almost invincible for a lot of years, talking about Warner. Now, they did lose it last year in 5, but they won, what, 33 or 34 matches? They were 34-1 or something like that last year. So can you beat them when it really matters? And we'll have to wait and see. Should be an absolute instant classic. Watch us go 3 sets. You know, somebody.
I hope it doesn't.
No, I don't think so. And I don't think it will. So I'm looking forward to that one tonight for sure in Class B. Over in Class A, this was a mild upset. And I say mild because Sioux Falls Christian is the truth, and they have been for a long time. They're not your stereotypical 8 seed, like happy to be here. Hey, we're like 2 games over 500. We're just super happy to make it to state.
Mm-hmm.
No. We're talking about Sioux Falls Christian here. They defeat Miller in the minimum 14, 17, and 11. Aliyah Schlechter had 5 kills and 9 digs in the loss there for Miller. Sioux Falls Christian, they got 17 kills and 8 digs from Brietta Timms in the victory there. Mount Vernon Plankinton, they would lose in 4 sets to Dakota Valley. Claire Munch with 24 kills and 18 digs. Reagan Russ, of course, a Northern State women's basketball commit. She had 19 kills and 16 digs in the shortcoming. Hamlin, a 4-set victory over Sioux Valley as they won it 15 and 23 in sets 3 and 4, respectively. Addie Neuendorf with 19 kills, 16 digs. Addie Stephenson, 20 and 15 kills and digs, respectively. They down Sioux Valley in 4. And Del Rapids defeats winner in straight sets 8, 18, and 11. So that sets up the bracket for today. Over in Class A, this will be on the right side of the bracket. I'll start on the left side. A consolation bracket first. Miller will take on Mount Vernon Plankinton. That'll be at the top of the hour. 7 versus 6 will be Sioux Valley against winner. Right-hand side of the bracket, your winner's bracket, if you will. Sioux Falls Christian against Dakota Valley. Now that's going to be a volleyball match. And then Hamlin against Del Rapids in the night session there as well. Should be just a great day of volleyball there in Class A for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this all shakes out. You got some great matches tonight. You know, you look at what Hamlin did there last night. They did lose that set in the middle there, but they were able to take care of business, and it seems like, you know, I was looking at their stats. I mean, it's just unbelievable the contributions you get. Yes, you're led by Stephenson, you're led by Addie Stephenson and Addie Neuendorf, but it seems to me that it's a team effort there in Hamlin. So you're going to need that kind of effort here tonight. And I'm interested to see, you know, Miller, how they bounce back after a tough go against Sioux Falls Christian. They are a good team, but obviously probably disappointed with how they played yesterday and want to get back on the court and see if they can bounce back here this afternoon.
Over in AA, Aberdeen Central, they would fall in straight sets to Harrisburg, 16, 18, and 25. And we talked about it yesterday on the show. hey, nobody expects you to beat Harrisburg. Can you compete at a high level? And I would say, yeah, they did. For Aberdeen Central, they did compete at a high level against Harrisburg. You lose 27-25 against a team that hasn't lost since the Bill Clinton administration. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, Harrisburg, I don't know if they'll ever lose again.
Yeah, what do we say? We did it after the show yesterday. I think it was September 2022, yes. The last time they lost a match.
Yeah, and that was to a team out of state.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. It's been a really long time. So kudos to Central. They do fall in the contest, but they left it all out there, and Harrisburg continues to just go on with their march. O'Gorman, they were victors last night over Watertown in straight sets, or yesterday afternoon, more accurately there. And also you had 2-7 and 6-3. Sioux Falls Jefferson would defeat Brandon Valley in 4, and Rosie would down Washington in 5. Kalen Snoozy putting the Washington squad to bed with 22 kills and 21 digs there. So 11 in the double A. On the left-hand side of the bracket, you'll have Aberdeen Central and Watertown, as hopefully the Central girls can kind of avenge the football squad from that playoff loss. They're kind of ironic how that works out for football. Central will take on Watertown in the 9-5 pairing at 11 a.m. 6-7, Rosie takes on Brandon Valley. And then on the right-hand side of the bracket, O'Gorman will battle Harrisburg. That'll be in the 1-4 pairing, and then a battle of Sioux Falls there. It'll be Jefferson against Washington tonight. So you look at the right-hand side of the bracket, it's, for all intents and purposes, all Sioux Falls.
Yeah, and, you know.
Sorry, Harrisburg people. I mean, Sioux Falls metro area, if you will.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if one of those teams can possibly take down Harrisburg. And when it's all said and done this weekend, it's a tall task. But I'll tell you what, just looking at these scores here, I mean, you see a lot of five set, a lot of four sets, a lot of great competition. You know, you like to see that. Once you get to the state tournament, you want to see a little bit more competition, some five set thrillers, some four setters that are back and forth. And I think we saw that for the most part over the course of looking at all these classes.
And just the very seldom amount of volleyball that I watched yesterday, I was getting prepped for the Northern women's match. I was watching a little bit of the Central one. The long volleys are so crucial, and I mean so, so crucial as it pertains to momentum and juice and energy and just trying to kind of get over that hump. If you can get a huge kill or an incredible dig on some of these long volleys and then eventually you find a way to get that point, that can do wonders for your program for the next couple points to come. Yeah. Volleyball, more than any other sport, in my opinion, feels like to me, is such a momentum game. And if you can get that momentum on your sideline, that can take you places.
That's a great point. And I mentioned that, I think, on Monday when we were talking a little bit about Northern State and when they played Southwest. I mentioned that Southwest on Monday on the match on Saturday here, mm-hmm. not the one that they won. They won those points. They won those momentum long volley points that went back and forth, and you were just waiting for that big kill to kind of change the momentum. And Southwest was able to win those points, and I think it can be true, like you said, in the high school thing as well, especially a team that maybe is, I guess, a quote-unquote underdog in mm-hmm. a situation where, hey, we're just trying to play free, as you mentioned earlier. Can we get a couple points? And if you can win a couple of those long volleys, then it puts a team on its heels, and you can have them right where you want them in a situation like that.
Yeah, makes them sweat a little bit, like an 8-1. Which we saw yesterday.
Yes.
So big shout out certainly to that Sioux Falls Christian program. Coming up next, we'll stay on the volleyball side of things, and actually we'll go from hardwood to hardwood. We'll talk some Northern State volleyball as well as some Northern State basketball as the Wolves picked up a victory last night against UMary. We'll talk about that, and the Northern women will be taking on the likes of St. Cloud. That will be tomorrow in the semifinals of the NSIC volleyball tournament. All of that and more coming up. Sports Hub rocking and rolling on this finally Friday installment of the show. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Thanks again for lending us your ears right here on FSA. We go from hardwood on the high school side of things to the hardwood on the college side. Northern State Volleyball. They'll be taking on St. Cloud tomorrow. That'll be at 5 o'clock as the semifinals of the NSIC tournament continues there in St. Cloud. And the nightcap is Wayne State against CSP. So you got the four final teams there in St. Cloud. This should be an incredible finish to this thing here. And for all intents and purposes, if you're the Wolves, you almost have to run the table a little bit because you're the number 9 ranked team in the last regional, which came out, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever and you have to finish in the top 8 there to make it to the national tournament. You know, these regional rankings come out, you got to finish in the top 8 there, and the Wolves are in the number 9 spot, so you pretty much have to take care of business against St. Cloud. You beat SMSU first and foremost. If you beat St. Cloud,
are you in?
That's just it. That's such a coin flip question right there. I feel like if you beat St. Cloud on their home floor,
I think you're in.
How do you say no to that, right?
I'd be shocked if they weren't in, if they were. But, I mean, to your point, I mean, it's just very competitive. And, you know, we talk to Brent Aldridge about this all the time. You know, he's just always talks about kind of staying alive, survive in advance. And they have an opportunity to do that here on Saturday. It's going to be tough. I mean, they played the St. Cloud team at Wax Arena, and they got swept, but it was competitive. You know, they put up some numbers, and, you know, they're going to have to, you know, try to game plan, if you can, against Kenzie Foley somehow. I mean, there's not much you can do with her because she's great. But, yeah, I mean, I personally think they're going to compete. I really do. I think they're going to keep this thing close. I think they're going to have an opportunity when it's all said and done. That's really all you could ask for in a match like that, I feel like.
You lose 21, 23, and 20. So you're in every game. You're literally in every single game. It's all coming down to momentum.
Finishing.
And finishing. That's just it. The Wolves hit 240 in that match. That's a pretty good number. A little bit lower than their season average at the time, but pretty solid. And St. Cloud hits 295. Can you get them under 250? That's a big ask, maybe.
Right, that is a big ask.
But can you get them under 250? Can you slow down Kenzie Foley? I mean, my daughter in church loves to make a lot of noise, and we're leaving church the other day, and my wife goes, "We just can't stop her." I just go, No. You don't have to stop her. You have to contain her. That's the way the Wolves have to approach Kenzie Foley. You're not going to stop her.
No.
You're going to have to contain her a little bit. She had 16 kills in a 3-set match. Can you keep her under 15? That's a big ask again, but these are like the little things, the little stats, the game within the game that we look at. Can you hold them under 240? Can you hold her to 15 or fewer? Can you have another diverse attack with Natalia Shabinska with 20? Can you get Morrison Samuels plus 10? Can you get Hannah Thompson to get to 14 or 15 again?
I think that's what it's going to take.
That's what it's going to take, yeah.
I think it's going to take, 18 to 20 from Shabinska, 15 to 16 from Thompson, and another 12 from Morrison Samuels, probably.
You're going to need Meister to have 25-plus digs.
Yes.
You're going to need to have Kerry Walker probably north of 45 set assists and probably around 15 to 20 digs. Yeah, that's what you need.
And you're going to need Brees Johnson or Moberg with a couple aces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to need that kind of effort. You know, you're probably listening to this and saying, that's a lot. Well, if you want to beat this team, that's kind of the effort you're going to need to put forth. I think that's no secret at all.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Should be great.
I think it is. I think you know, you look at the first match and you mentioned the scores, you're right in it. You just got to be able to finish and grab that momentum. If you can win a set, it's all about, you know, putting a team that's so great on their heels. Maybe, you know, thinking a little bit of doubt. That's what you need. You need doubt needs to creep in a little bit at some point during the match. You know, like, okay, like, you know, if you get up 2-1 or you get up 1-0 and then, you know, you're up big in the second set and make them have to have a Herculean effort to win that second, and you feel pretty good about going into the third. I think those are the kinds of things that you're going to have to do in this match.
And Foley's going up for kills, and she keeps getting blocked by Abby Brooks and Victoria Persia. How do I get past these girls?
Yeah.
A little bit of doubt, just a little bit of doubt in their minds. If you can make that, make them sweat, you just never know.
You're going to have a chance. I think they're going to have a chance. There's going to be an opportunity where they're going to have a chance to, you know, get the upper hand. Do they do that? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock via the NSIC network. Can they close? Can they finish? The Northern women, they certainly found a way to finish last night, 73-71, defeating UMary, the NSIC conference opener there. It was a game in which saw lots of turns left and right, a game in which that I saw something for the first time in all of my years calling play-by-play. The game starts, and you're playing with the wrong basketball.
Wow.
Did you see that? Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, the first 7 minutes.
Were they playing with the men's ball?
They were playing with the men's basketball through the first 6.5, 7 minutes of the game. Both teams couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I'm like, wow, both teams are really struggling from the floor. What's going on here? Someone got fouled. I can't remember exactly who. They're shooting free throws. I think it was a Northern player that was shooting free throws. Referee grabs the ball. That doesn't look right. This is a men's ball. Well, that's the reason why you marry shooting 17%.
Yeah, that's why it was pretty low scoring in the first quarter. Then.
Never have I ever seen that before. It was tied at 6 apiece at the first media timeout, and it's just like neither of these offenses getting anything going while they're playing with the men's ball.
Yeah. And
can
that,
you imagine that?
And I think that'll play a factor in that.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And then we saw both teams kind of play a little bit better. I mean, Northern, they were a little bit slower in that second quarter, and you marry – you know, I think they outscored them 25-9, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, yeah, that's going to have something to do with it for sure.
Never seen that. Seven minutes? Yeah.
Playing with the men's ball?
Yeah.
Never. That's surprising, though. Wouldn't you think somebody, you know, like Rio or somebody who's handling the ball, it feels probably a little bit different, don't you think?
I would think so. I mean, that's on the folks at the scores table to hand that ball to the referee. Referee inspects it, so maybe somebody didn't inspect it closely enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a first, but yeah, 25-16, the Wolves were outscored
25-16,
there. Yeah, in that second quarter there. But to your point, you know, doing a really, really good job in that second quarter, but you have to find a way to close when the game is on the line and you want the ball in your best player's hands. And you go from your all-world point guard to your all-NSIC center, and Rio just somehow finds a way to get the ball to Madeline Bragg, who lays it up and in at the wire. Wolves win it 73-71 as Bragg was outstanding there last night. 25 points and 14 rebounds. Morgan Fiedler was the X factor, though. She really had herself a great game. 17 points on 7 of 9 from the field, even banked home a 3 as well. 2 for 3 from beyond the curve. She was masterful. But Rio's performance from the assist-to-turnover ratio, nothing to shake a stick at. 14 points, 7 assists, 0 turnovers. That's really what you're looking at there. And Michaela Jewett, a couple of great back screens to set up that final play. And I think everybody had a big impact on that one last night.
Yeah, absolutely. They got contributions from everyone. And we talked about that when they're playing their own game. They're dictating the pace. You can see some good things are happening. You look at that stat sheet, I feel like that's where you want it every night if you can. Just 4 or 5, maybe 6 that are contributing each night. And what an effort that was last night. You know, a team in UMary that was hungry for a win. I know it's early in the season, but they all count at the end of the year. And that was a huge one there for Northern. They were also plus on the glass, which – you know, something that they definitely pride in. And you mentioned Bragg. I think the 14 rebounds was close to a career high, if not a career high. So just a big-time effort for them on the glass as well, which played a huge role in the win.
No question. Big win, no doubt. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. It's early in the season, but they all count at the end of it. So really, really good point there. As for NSU, on the pool side of things in the deep end, they kicked off the finals with a 9th-place finish in the 200 medley relay. There was yesterday. You also had in the 50 free, Osborne finishing in 2nd place. Right there with, Haley Osborne, as it were. And you can check out the full and complete detailed list. It's all there on our website, hubcityradio.com. That's day one of a 3-day event there for the NSU swim squad. Wishing them the very best of luck as they continue today as well. And we're kind of running out of time, so let's take this commercial break quick. Like, come on back and take a look at some of the matchups for this upcoming weekend on the gridiron to boot. Final segment of our work week here on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. College football playoff time on the NC2A D2 side of things at Super Region 4. Augustana is taking on MSU Mankato. That'll be tomorrow at 12 noon, while Angelo State brings in Bemidji State. So kind of feel weird rooting for, like, conference teams and what have you, but I'm rooting for Bemidji. Why not? It's kind of strange, but I'm rooting for the conference.
Yeah.
Is that a hot take? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So they got Augustana and Mankato playing against each other.
Yeah, in the playoffs, yeah.
Wow.
Kind of weird,
isn't it? It's kind of weird. You know, they play each other, you know, during the NSIC season, and you go to the D2 playoff and you play each other again.
Don't you want to see diversity?
Yeah.
That's like the big thing nowadays. We got to have diversity in this. Why not a little diversity in the playoffs?
I agree. You already played that team. Now, if you play them again, you know, in a championship setting, or you get to the semifinal, but for a first-round game?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't love that. That's the way it goes, though, sometimes, and we'll see how it all plays out there. Aberdeen Wings are on the road in St. Cloud, 7 tonight, 6:30 tomorrow on 94.1 The Rock. A tough go for them against Minot. Can they get... right.
Well, this is a big series for them. I mean, I know they're dealing with some injuries. They're a little bit banged up, but can you kind of right the wrong from what you did last week? We heard it during the Wings Weekly there. They want to play a little bit better. I expect them to this week. They got shut out in both games versus Minot.
And the Northern Men are in Jamestown tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Everdeen at 6 p.m. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it on Monday.
It's another road weekend for your Aberdeen Wings as they head to St. Cloud, Minnesota for a weekend with the Norsemen.
Puck drops Friday night at 7 o'clock and Saturday night at 6:30.
Catch all of the action on your home for the Wings, 94.1 The Rock, with the voice of the Wings, Jay Klonkinak. It's NHL Central Division Hockey from the Municipal Athletic Complex in St. Cloud, Minnesota with the Aberdeen Wings and St. Cloud Norsemen this Friday and Saturday night on 94.1 The Rock at NHLTV.com. It's Wings Thing.
Celebrate the end of your work week with lunch at Mulligan.